That music was Moon Eclipsed by Sound with the Piggy Black Group Ensemble. The cut doesn't have any, the cuts don't have any names, but I used cut one, which sounds like Tibetan monks to me, and then there's a story there. I'll talk about that a little bit later with our special guest, Dr. Carolyn Dean, who's the author of Death by Modern Medicine. This is the Sound Health Show on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. The show's called Sound Health because I run an institute of bioacoustic biology and sound health. And we started the institute to study the effects of sound and frequency on human physiology. We've done some spectacular research, and we've also expanded what we do to include other kinds of healing and information. On this Sunday show, we usually have guests, and on our Thursday night show on BBS, we have people calling in. We take their vocal sample right over the phone and answer questions, and sometimes we answer questions that people didn't ask. I would like to read you something about that Tibetan monk cut we just did, and this is on the back of the album front. January 20th, 2000, full moon in Leo, eclipsed by Aquarian sun, opened an energetic door for humanity. It initiated the awareness of the healing power of sound and the wisdom for expressing it. July 16th, 2000, full moon in Capricorn, eclipsed by a Cancer sun, closed that door. The gift given, an awareness of the conscious use of sound, united with intention and heart essence to bring our dreams into form. And Tibetan monks have been doing this for eons and using sounds for healing. We have a few announcements before we bring Dr. Dean on. One, in March of this year, we're going to have an expo. It's free to the public, and we want to invite all of you to come over, down, up, or whatever the case may be. We're in Southern Ohio, so let us know if you'd like an invitation. Just write to Heather at vocalprofiling.com. Most of our regular listeners know that email address by now. And we'll invite you down, and we'll have some fun. We're going to be doing free vocal profiles. Two, we're having some great success with helping release back pain. So keep that information coming for those of you who've been corresponding with us and the new people who are having back pain. 65% of adults experience back pain at some time in their life. So I know there's a lot of you out there, so write to us. And let's see, three, we just did a wonderful show, Erskine Overnight. It's a syndicated show, so go to Erskine, E-R-S-K-I-N-E, O-V-E-R-N-I-T-E. That's a weird spelling of night. But ErskineOvernight.com and see when it's going to be on your local station. We revealed some secrets there that the people on this show haven't got to hear because, well, we have guests and we don't often talk about our own work. Okay. Dr. Dean has been with us many times. I think she first appeared about a year ago, and she's been on a couple times since. We've talked to her about the magic of magnesium, and I'm drinking some right now, and it really works, by the way. When I forget mine, my legs hurt at night and have a lot of other symptoms, so I really love this stuff. Today we're going to talk about another one of her books, and she also has a new project he wants to talk about. First, we're going to talk about Death by Modern Medicine. Sounds horrible. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Dean.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
How long ago did you write Death by Medicine?
Well, Death by Medicine, the paper, I wrote that in the fall of, gosh, I think it was 2003. And then it came out 2004 on the internet. You can just Google for it, Death by Medicine, and it's a paper that lists the various causes of death as they relate to medicine. So it's deaths by surgical errors, drug side effects, malnutrition, bed sores, a number of cases of death by medicine, which when they're all added up together, make about 784,000 in total. And people say, well, that sounds like too much. What about all the deaths by heart disease and stroke and all the rest of it? Well, what happens with a coroner's report is they'll put down what the doctor says is wrong with the person, and even if they're on 12 different drugs, but if the final thing to give out is their heart, then it will be a heart attack that causes their death. So there's not a real accounting of what's going on.
Isn't that kind of dangerous for you to be doing? You're a doctor.
Doing what? Talking about this?
Slamming your own profession?
Well, it's a lot of doctors are doing it now. Marcia Angel, she's talking about the real problems in the whole research industry in medicine. I just read an article by a journalist friend of mine up in Canada, Helka Ferry, and doctors all over the world are speaking out now about the dangers of medical research and how it's mostly focused on getting a drug through the approval process and getting it on the market, only to find out that these drugs have side effects. Even if they try to tell us that, oh, this is a newer and better drug, it's usually what they call a me-too drug, the same as the last drug with a little tweaking, and it's going to cause the same side effects.
You know, we have a lot of doctors who come and take our courses here, and a couple of the oncology doctors said to me, all I'm doing is killing people. I'm not making them better. I'm not extending their life. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so they've taken up bioacoustics, and they're getting their patients well in another way.
Yes, that's wonderful. And it's unfortunate that doctors have been misled. When I went through medical school, I had already been interested in nutritional medicine, so I was going there kind of with my fingers crossed behind my back, hoping that I'd survive. And all the way through, it was very much focused on diagnosing disease and treating with drugs. We didn't learn any nutrition. We didn't learn anything about bioacoustics or anything about energy medicine, color, light therapies, nothing. We were even told that if you haven't learned it in medical school, it's quackery. So doctors at this moment in time who've been trained in the last 50 years think that anything besides drugs is actually quackery. When you go to a doctor, somehow you have the impression that the doctor's supposed to help you stay well and make you feel better. And every time you go in, you're usually disappointed because the doctor tells you, well, there's nothing much wrong with you, but take this drug and come back when you feel worse. And doesn't really go into the real reason why you're in the office, which may be that you're horribly stressed, you're horribly mineral deficient, you haven't been eating a proper diet. And most people, they're waiting for their doctors to tell them what to do to stay healthy.
Is nutrition considered an alternative modality?
I think it is. The most that doctors will do about nutrition is tell you to go and see the dietitian down the hall. And the dietitian down the hall is mainly getting their information from the food industry. And they'll put together a meal plan where a pizza has all four food groups because the tomato paste, they count as a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't look at the nutritional content of food, the vitamins and minerals in food. They just look at the calories, the caloric content, the amount of calories you need to burn to keep breathing. They don't look at anything else. They look at the four food groups, and if you have some of the four food groups, you're just fine. They're constantly making substitutions in the four food groups so that you can end up with, as I said, a pizza for a complete meal.
Do you use any of these alternative modalities in your practice?
I do a telephone consulting practice presently, so my my modalities are mainly nutrition, detoxification, some methods of psychotherapy, EFT, energy tapping, and I'm actually creating a group of doctors who are going to be practitioners in a medical spa that I'm building in Costa Rica.
Oh, okay. So, tell us about that.
Well, that's going to be in 2010. We've got the land and we're breaking ground right now. It's going to be a luxury spa and also a health clinic where people will be able to come and detoxify from their drugs, get on natural supplements, get on a good organic diet, learn what it feels like to be healthy, and then take that information, that education back to their homes.
I know when you told me to get off magnesium and then I decided to get off wheat, it's a whole different life. It's so much energy. It's clear thinking. It's clear energy. It's like, why didn't I do this before? So that's
right. You needed a doctor to tell you. It's such basic information. And I find after being in medicine for over 30 years that I've been going further and further back to the basics, because I get people who've been in the alternative world. They're bright people. They've been trying every supplement that they get to hear about. There's so much advertising for all the latest newfangled expensive supplements, but I just find that that all this is kind of too much. It's clogging up the system. The higher the dosage of the vitamins that you take, the more assured you can be that those supplements are synthetic. You can't have a full organic food-based vitamin C that's 2,000 milligrams. It's just impossible. And if you take a vitamin C that says it's 2,000 milligrams, if you look on the label in the little brackets beside vitamin C, it'll say ascorbic acid usually. And ascorbic acid can be created synthetically out of coal tar. And you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to you about using our nutrition and muscle evaluations in this project. But I'll talk to you more about that on the air. We're already getting some questions from the audience, and I haven't even announced that we're taking calls. Okay, our U.S. number for call-ins is 877-876-5227, and in Canada, 888-815-9756, and a direct number, 530-876-3222. And if you didn't get all those numbers, just go to bbsradio.com, station one, and the numbers are right there. And for those of you who like to write to us because you're using your computer to listen, or your phone line to listen, it's radio@vocalprofiling.com. Dr. Dean, most of our people prefer to write to us. But I have a question on my own here before we get some of their questions. Do you think the doctors are getting fed up and coming forward with what the real stuff is, because they're just fed up with insurance companies raping them? I know with my own doctor, we had a talk, and he only gets 30% payment from what he charges me.
Oh, my, yes. Oh, that's amazing. And the bureaucracy and paperwork to even try to get that amount is just stifling. It's even worse in Manhattan. Some of the alternative medicine doctors tell me that their overhead is 80%. So that when they charge their $1,000 for a visit, supposedly they're only getting $200. Yes, it's become very commercialized on every end of the whole scenario. And what I see is doctors are moving toward alternatives, but they're coming into a situation in alternative medicine with the nutritional supplemental medicine that I'm talking about, where it has become very commercialized. And
I think that beep means we have a caller. Hello, do we have a caller?
Yes. My name is Nick, and I'm calling from Costa Rica.
Uh-huh.
And I heard Dr. Dean say that she was going to have a clinic here. And I'm curious where it will be in Costa Rica, and I guess it won't be until you say 2010.
Yeah, 2010, but that's 2 short years. It's around Tamarindo.
I'm familiar with Tamarindo, although I live in Escazú, you know, near San Jose.
Oh, okay, yes. We're up near the Liberia airport.
Mm-hmm.
We're 50 minutes from the Liberia International Airport, so folks can come in that way. So how are you liking it down there?
Oh, I love it here. I've been living here for, oh, I don't know, about 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Are you a wellness provider?
Well, I go to a hospital here. I'm going to try to look more into more holistic medicine. I had bypass surgery down here, triple bypass, about 5.5 years ago, and I think I'm probably having troubles again.
Dr. Dean, what's an address where he can stay in touch with you?
Well, people can go to my website, carolyndean.com, and I keep a current email and phone number up there, although I'm getting so busy I really can't answer phone calls, but I do try to answer all my emails. For the heart, for avoiding bypass, you should look into my magnesium book, The Magnesium Miracle. Magnesium is vitally important for the heart.
Yeah, I take magnesium potassium every day, or if I don't, my heart will skip beats.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about this wonderful ionic magnesium we've talked about before.
Yes, we'll certainly have it when we're down in Costa Rica, but there's an angstrom-sized magnesium that's absorbed 100% at the cell level. You can look that up at pureaquahealth.com. Pureaquahealth.com. Because the magnesium, when you take it by mouth, most of the powders and capsules, the citrates and or the oxides, they're anywhere from 5 to 15% absorbed. So not a lot of it goes into the cell. And when a person has a heart condition, you want to make sure that your heart is thoroughly saturated with magnesium, because the blockages come when there's an imbalance of calcium and magnesium.
I've heard that coenzyme Q10 is also good.
Yes, there are a number of things that are good.
But here in Costa Rica, it's so expensive. It would be about $275 to $300 a month for me to buy coenzyme Q10 and take it at the dose I would need.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take a line of nutrients with you to your clinic?
Yes, we'll have a Vita Costa line, so hopefully that we'll be able to turn that around as well and provide less expensive nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 2 years from now.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, well,
stay in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Okay, back to answering this insurance question about insurance companies raping the doctors, and that's why they're deciding they're just going to come out and tell the truth.
Yes, that's part of it, but doctors, they're very much under gag orders. They're gagged. They really can't speak up because they get their licenses from their state licensing board. And you will find that most doctors who are doing alternative medicine, they've been attacked by their licensing board. And so not many doctors are willing to stand up because they can lose their license for practicing against the standard practice of medicine, which is drugs and surgery.
In Nick's case, is this the kind of thing that you do on your private consultations?
Yes.
Okay. We have a question here, and it's about nutrients. There's such a big push to scare us about vitamins that they are harmful. I saw this in Reader's Digest. Is it true? And are there some nutrients that are more important than others?
Well, it's an interesting question. I've already brought up that synthetic vitamins are the high-dose vitamins that you see on the shelves, and they're not helpful. I don't know that they're harmful to the body, but when we think we're taking vitamins to help us, and they're synthetic, they're really not helping. So I think the scare tactics from the media are promoted by the drug companies because they first of all want to stop people taking vitamins because vitamins do help a lot of people and keep people away from taking drugs. So there's a competition there. And then once they scare all the people away from taking vitamins and as the Codex Alimentarius laws go into effect and the companies are making low-potency synthetic vitamins, a lot of the vitamin companies are going to go out of business and the vitamin industry is going to be taken over by the drug companies. So that's their long-term plan. The drug companies want to take over the vitamins.
Well, how can we tell the difference between these synthetic and naturals?
You look at the label, and then the bracket beside the name of the vitamin, if it says vitamin B1, and if the bracket says something like rice bran, or it has a food in the bracket, then it's a food-based, and then it's natural and good for you. If the bracket says a chemical name, like vitamin B1 would be thiamine, B2 is riboflavin, then they can be made from petroleum. They can be synthetically made, and they're not natural. So I tell people to look for food-based organic. The company that I've looked into, I don't sell vitamins and minerals, but that's the major question that people ask me, well, what can I take? The one that I use is Grown by Nature. And the company's grownbynature.com. It's a very basic website, but the products are far superior to any of the high potency supplements I see. And for Nick, the coenzyme Q10, they have vitamin E and coenzyme Q10. It's low potency because it's natural. And I think that that's superior to the very high potency, high expense coenzyme Q10 that are on the market.
Do you have anything on your site to help people know what adequate dosages are and things like that?
Yes. One thing that I just put up is an e-book. It's an e-book in PDF format with a searchable file, and I go through 134 health conditions and talk about the nutrients that are required, and I give the recommendations of the companies that have the safe, organic, food-based nutrients. I don't think the link is on my website yet. It's too new, but you can go to hallmarkbooks.com. So that's hallmarkbooks.com. The book is called Vita Costa Good Health Encyclopedia. Vita Costa is the name of our Costa Rica spa. And the encyclopedia, I've been building this since 1988. That was its first edition. And I wrote it in 88 to help me deal with sort of basic complaints that people will come in with. I'd say, well, just read the chapter in the book. You don't even have to come in the office because I was getting so busy. And it's the same situation now. I'm so busy I can't take that many consults. So I tell people to get the Health Encyclopedia, and they can find out, you know, just about everything that I would tell them about these 134 conditions.
So is there some general nutrients that are best to just keep taking, like vitamin C or something?
Well, the magnesium, I think, is the basic one. I tell everybody, if you can only take one supplement, make it vitamin C, magnesium. And then after that, I would go for a multiple before going to vitamin C. Personally, I take a multiple of vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin E. And I also take, that's in the Grown by Nature. And then with the minerals, I take a magnesium and a calcium liquid minerals.
Since these are grown by nature and organic, are they more expensive than say, synthetic vitamins?
Yes, they are more expensive. But what people will find is they really feel better on them. When I was trying, you know, over the years I've tried all kinds of different supplements, and I've never really felt them in my body. When I started doing the angstrom-sized minerals at Pure Aqua Health and the Grown by Nature vitamins, I've really felt that they were helping my body. So, I go on that, and I go on sort of testimonials from my clients who tell me the same, that they really feel good on these supplements. What happens when you take high doses of calcium that aren't absorbed? For example, women were being told to take 1,500, 2,000 milligrams of calcium, calcium carbonates or citrates. Calcium carbonate is only 5% absorbed. The other 95% can go into the tissues of the body and clog it up. It can cause constipation. I'm told by the Bristol Cancer Clinic, when they do autopsies on women who've had colon cancer, that they open up their colons and find carbonates just lining the intestines. So when we're taking minerals that aren't being absorbed, they can be clogging up the body. Something like magnesium isn't quite that bad, because magnesium has the action that if you take too much by mouth, it causes a laxative effect, so you don't build it up.
What do you think of things like Centrum and One a Day?
Well, most of them have so much, they actually have shellacs on them that bind the particles together. And I'm
told, shellac as in paint?
And I'm told that they're clogging up the sewage treatment plants, because they go in one end and come out the other. The nurses joke about these one-a-day synthetic supplements just clink out into the bedpan. They don't even get absorbed. So you're absorbing some of the dyes and coatings and colorings and shellac, which is bad for you. You're absorbing some of the outer coatings, the chemicals, and you're not getting any of the vitamins, but the vitamins themselves are purely synthetic.
Here's another question from the audience. I've heard that the government is going to irradiate nutrients. Is this true, and is it dangerous?
Well, I don't know about irradiating nutrients. I know they very often will irradiate herbs coming from China, because they're concerned about contamination. They irradiate spices. So a lot of the foods that you see on the shelf now are being irradiated, and you don't even know it. What they are doing with Codex is regulating food and dietary supplements to the point where food has the maximum amount of toxins allowed, and the supplements are low potency and synthetic. And both of those thrusts are in order to commercialize both our food and our supplements, to make it easier for manufacturing companies to sell them and to trade them across borders.
Here's a question from Susan. I don't really have a reason. It's just, she says, would you talk to your audience about phosphatidylcholine and Alzheimer's?
Right. Well, that's interesting that this comes up, because in the autistic patients that I work with, phosphatidylcholine is being called the best chelator. There's an intravenous phosphatidylcholine that people, the parents will take their autistic children to the doctors to get this intravenous. It's phosphatidylcholine is a lipid. We think of lecithin and choline, and this is similar. And the reason it's given is to try to kind of exchange the fats that are holding all the mercury and heavy metals in the body and exchange this with the good fats, one of which is phosphatidylcholine. In Alzheimer's, the autistic community is saying that autism is Alzheimer's turned on early, turned on by the mercury and vaccines. Autism and Alzheimer's are similar in that this population is not able to detoxify heavy metals, so the heavy metals are built up in the brain and cause damage. And phosphatidylcholine, one product that I'm researching right now, Phoscol, P-H-O-S-C-H-O-L, at phoscol.com, is an oral phosphatidylcholine that my parents of autistic children are now telling me is almost as good as doing intravenous phosphatidylcholine in its effects on the brain and the liver.
Can you get this from food? That's a question from me.
That would be from lecithin. I mean, that's not a food substance. It's another supplement. But I'm not aware of a food source. I'll Google it while we're talking, but I'm not aware of one.
On the bottles I've seen for phosphatidylcholine, it says it's from soy.
Right. Yes, but the I learned about that as well. But the parents of the autistic children say you don't get any soy reactions from it. But yes, it's from soy, which makes it difficult to get enough in soy, because I don't recommend people eat soy except for a little bit of fermented soy. So if that's the source of it, then we have to go to the supplements, and because we're not going to be able to eat enough soy and deal with the soy side effects to get the phosphatidylcholine you need.
When I eat soy, I get dizzy-headed and muddle-minded. I have a real reaction to it. And in some of the research we've done here, we found that soy really is hard on calcium, especially for young kids. Soy milk causes them not to be able to absorb the calcium well.
Right. There are substances called phytates in the soy that actually bind to minerals and take them out of the body.
Oh, that would be okay. We didn't know that piece. I'll go look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're finding that one of the issues with C-reactive protein, it almost seems like a numeric precursor to Alzheimer's. Do you know anything about that?
Well, C-reactive protein, I know it as an inflammatory marker, a marker for inflammation. And with Alzheimer's, it is an inflammatory process in the brain, so I'm sure they're related.
Well, in looking at some of these cases that we have had long-term, you can see C-reactive protein plays a really heavy part in the Alzheimer's charts, and in the number matrices, too.
So,
there is a question here I don't quite understand, but I can't pronounce some of the words. I'll have to read them or spell them to you. I read these things while you're talking. Have any advice for someone who just had a stroke? Cholesterol is not high, no blockages in arteries, no explanation from doctor. This I'm going to spell. G-L-O-B-U-S, next word. P-A-L-L-I-B-U-S, involved. What food should be avoided? They say my vitamin K is messed up. What food should I not eat?
A stroke where cholesterol is not high, no blockage. It could have been an aneurysm and not a stroke caused by arterial damage. With that type of stroke, it's important to get natural vitamin C complex with the bioflavonoids. They help heal up arteries and capillaries. The magnesium is also very important to get to stop damage. Like even past the, years past the time of a stroke, intravenous magnesium and hyperbaric oxygen in clinics has been shown to reverse stroke. Now, I'm not suggesting you run off and get that, but what we know about magnesium that you can rub into the skin, a type of magnesium oil, it can be equivalent to doing intravenous magnesium. And certainly the magnesium I talked about, the pureaquahealth.com, can give you an increase in magnesium at the cellular level. I think you should look at my book, The Magnesium Miracle. I have a section on heart disease and stroke with a lot of other advice. So I think that's probably a good start.
What nutrients help with hernias?
Well, hernias, if it's the inguinal hernia in the groin, those tend to be a physical abnormality, like a problem in the musculature and the lining between the stomach and the outside. There's a little hole in it that some people, it's from birth. And over time, stress and strain, with pregnancies, with overweight, it can pop. And there isn't a nutrient that I've been able to find that will heal a hernia. And the best hernia surgery is actually done in Toronto, Canada, at the Schuldeis Clinic. Schuldice Clinic. They've pioneered a way of doing the hernias with local anesthetic. They get people up. They walk out of the surgical suite. They get right off the table and walk, and they get right back to work within the week. So you don't have to have a general anesthetic. They don't do huge cuts in a person. So that's the type of surgery I would recommend. And, of course, there are many nutrients you can take for healing after surgery, for preparing for surgery and for healing after surgery. And that, actually, you can get all that information in my book, The Vita Costa Good Health Encyclopedia, at hallmark-hallmarkbooks.com.
Oh, okay, I know you are an absolutely prolific writer. I looked at your resume, and it was like 20 pages thick of things that you could write. So a lot of these people may just need to go to your website and look at. And
There's several articles there. I've written 13 books now. The encyclopedia is a PDF that you download. It's an e-book. So I think that's the best place for people to start. It's with that the health encyclopedia. And this is information that I want to share with people. I think in one of the promos for the book somewhere, I said, well, rather than having a $200 an hour consult with me, just buy this book and you'll find out what I say about 134 different things.
That's great. I'm going to go do it. I didn't know you had a new book out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question, I think, from a guy. Are there any alternatives to Viagra?
Well, you have to look at why the Viagra is needed. Now, maybe not in this case, but in a lot of cases, men are taking statin drugs. And what the statin drugs are doing is reducing the cholesterol in the body, sometimes below the level that is necessary. We're being told that 180 or 200 milligrams per cent is a good level, whereas when I went to medical school, it was 250. So we're being told that these lower and lower levels are necessary, but, you know, we have to question whether that's being told to us in order to sell the statin drugs, because I think it's about 50%. I'm sure I'm quoting too high a number, but a fair number of men who take statin drugs have erectile dysfunction because they don't have enough hormones. You need cholesterol to make your hormones. If you don't have cholesterol, you can have erectile dysfunction. And then, you know, the doctors are fine with that. You just have to come in for more appointments and get more prescriptions, and the drug companies are okay with that because you're buying more drugs. And other than the statins, I mean, it's got to do with toxicity. It's got to do with having too much heavy metals, having yeast overgrowth. A lot of men get prostatitis from yeast overgrowth, and that can cause erectile dysfunction. So there's a lot of nutritional factors that relate to erectile dysfunction, but it's not in natural medicine. I don't make the mistake that doctors make, that when you come to me with a symptom, I say, oh, here's a herb. If I just said, oh, here's a herb that'll help you, I'm just acting like an allopathic doctor who'll say, oh, here's a drug that will help you. Instead, in natural medicine, we tell people about eating a good diet, getting exercise, releasing conflict in your life, getting good sleep, and then taking food-based supplements that will help your body, not just taking a natural substance to relieve a symptom.
In your Good Health Encyclopedia, do you give them, like, symptoms that they should look for to help them choose the right stuff?
Well, yes, it's got 134 different conditions, so people can search by condition. But because it's a PDF file where you can just search any word, then if you've got a symptom, then you can put that symptom in, and then it'll turn up all the different files where you can find the conditions.
Okay, another question from our audience. I've heard that DHEA is the master hormone, but recently read that it's really pregnenolone, but that because there's no patent on pregnenolone, that the drug companies don't want us to know about it. What's the truth?
Well, pregnenolone is, and DHEA, they're both kind of similar. They go along pathways to help boost all our hormones, but I mean, the bottom line is to try to do it naturally and not take supplements, because when we take hormonal supplements, we're acting like we know what we need. And I can kind of say that because I have a bit of a solution for the DHEA question. It's to take magnesium oil on the skin, rub it into your skin, and it will naturally promote DHEA production because there are DHEA receptors underneath the skin. Dr. Norm Shealy did that research, and I talk about it in my Magnesium Miracle book. And the magnesium oil I'm talking about, we've done this on previous shows, I know, Sherry. It's a magnesium chloride from seawater that's dissolved in distilled water. And the one that I reference most often is from globallight.net, globallight.net. And they make sure there's no mercury in this product, because anything from the sea these days can have mercury.
And that's for the magnesium oil.
Correct, the magnesium oil.
Okay. One listener wants to know where you'll be lecturing or if you're available for lectures.
That's why I'm a little bit spaced out tonight. I just did two lectures in Manhattan at the Natural Gourmet Institute. I'll be doing another one there February 3rd. And another two February 24th. So people can keep up on my schedule by going to my website, carolyndean.com, and checking that schedule. I try to keep it up to date, and I am available for lectures. I live in the New York area, and I do travel to do lectures all around the country.
Okay, another question from the audience. I've heard so much controversy about omega 3, 6, and 9. What's the difference?
Well, omega 3 comes from fish, fish oils, and flaxseed oil. 6 comes more from the sunflower seed oil and safflower oil. 3, 6, and 9. Where's 9? Is that from coconut oil?
I think so.
Yeah. And they're all different. You know, they all do different things. They're all necessary for the body. And what we seem to have done in our culture, society, is mostly get omega-6s because we turn to safflower and sunflower seed oils and thought that coconut oil was bad for us and don't eat enough fish. So we OD'd on the omega-6s, and we really need a balance of all three of them.
Well, I know that a lot of companies, McDonald's and whatever, cook things in peanut oil, and I have a problem with that. So I just, I love French fries, so I just cook my own with a little olive oil and stuff in the oven.
Uh-huh.
And it works. But I love omega-3s.
Yes, the omega-3s, it's interesting, Sherry. I've just been hearing more about the flaxseed oil. Some people find that the fish oils make them burp. So I would say to people, well, the omega-3s are also in flaxseed oil. But I've been looking at the different fractions in the flaxseed oil, and there's a lot of alpha-linoleic acid, which actually can go down the pathways and cause some inflammation. And some people have been telling me, once I start thinking about this and asking people, they tell me that when they've taken a lot of flaxseed oil, they feel a little more arthritic. And I personally, when I used to take a lot of flaxseed oil, I thought I had a stronger body odor. And when I stopped it, I felt better. Well, I mean, I didn't have the body odor. And what Susan Weed has been reminding us all of is that flaxseed oil can go rancid within a couple of weeks of processing it. So it's one of these oils that goes rancid very quickly. So if you get body odor from it, it's because you've been eating a rancid product.
Would you recommend something like, I think it's EFA and DHA? Aren't those two kinds of oils?
Yes, they are, and we use those in the autistic population. The EFAs are an essential fatty acid, usually the omega-3, and the DHA is part of the omega-3 as well. So you just have to find a good company, Nordic Naturals or Udo's. They tend to be good companies, but I think the main thing is to really research flaxseed oil before taking it. If people want flaxseed oil for their phytoestrogens and for all the good that they do, it's probably best to get organic flax seeds and then grind them up just before you're going to put them in your cereal or before you're going to use them. And that way they can't go rancid.
From what I'm hearing, your new book, this Good Health Encyclopedia that we can e-book it, you're taking all of your expertise for your 30 years of medicine and pointing us in the good, very foundational ideas and companies, and this we're taking advantage of your good advice.
Yes. As I said, I've just been getting so busy that I wanted to get the information out there so that I could point people to just the resources and references that they need, because most of the people that come to me as clients, they're very well read, but they they've gotten swept up in the synthetic vitamins and the dirt-based minerals and don't understand how important it is to get food-based products and minerals that are of a size that the body will absorb at the cellular level. So just very basic things that I talk about over and over again in the Good Health Encyclopedia so that people understand that they can get their nutrients from reliable sources and not be swayed so much by all the advertising about supplements. There's so many scare tactics that are used by supplement companies now that you have to have this vitamin in very high potencies at very high expense for the rest of your life. I've gone through that myself where I'll have about 40 bottles of supplements and it's just overwhelming, and I know it's overwhelming for the people who are listening. I've tried to simplify it greatly in this book by telling people, well, you'll see when you read it. I'll go over a condition and give some common sense. I'll talk about the hydrotherapy for it, talk about a diet, the foods to eat or not eat, and then the supplements to take. It's not all about supplements. And I talk about clay as well. I've had some incredible experiences with using clay packs to deal with very serious infections. So I know simple things like clay poultices can help a person, whereas an intravenous vitamin in the hospital doesn't do a thing.
There's one quick question that you can answer, and then we got two more. I guess we're going to have you on again. Do you talk about natural cosmetics in your book?
I think I don't know if I have a section there, but I remember myself saying somewhere in there that if you can't eat it, don't put it on your face.
Okay. Well,
Here's
two more topics that we won't get to, but we'll do next time. General advice for seasonal allergies and about women's hormones. So those are two big topics we can cover next time.
Okay.
Dr. Dean, give your address once more for how they can get your e-book.
Yes, the e-book is at hallmark-hallmarkbooks.com. My website is carolyndean.com, and it should have the link soon. And people can keep up with my lectures and my radio shows. I do a lot of radio shows. I have a little menu on the side of my website where you can find out what I'm doing.
Well, thank you for being with us, and we'll have you back.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Appreciate your being here. As Dr. Dean has indicated, our healthcare system is so convoluted toward making money that it's left us out. Our health, or our lack of it, should be a priority, especially for those we think are helping us out, because we're putting money in their pockets. We're the one that pays these insurance premiums. So we need to do our own shopping and pay our own health care providers. I've canceled my health care insurance all but catastrophic coverage. And when I go to my doctor now, I'm treated like royalty because he won't need to beg the insurance company for what little pay he gets. Like I said, he gets about 30% of what he charges me. There is a website, Bolen Report, B-O-L-E-N Report dot, I think it's .net, that gives you alternatives for health and gives you lots of information about how you can set this up in your company. I am appalled that my doctor does the service and he's the one that gets shysted. And there's a lot of here in this little town that's been run out of business. And there are lots of plans for self-pay. So one of the things we're trying to do here at Sound Health is to teach people how to be responsible for their own health. We do computer programs to let you know what nutrients you need, what muscles are in stress, what hormones you need. So we talk about that mostly on our Thursday show, and that's at the same time, 9 o'clock, or right after drcarly.com. So please join us then, and thank you for listening. ¶¶
Thank you.